Want to be involved in Rhode Island's largest volunteer-supported arts organization? Waterfire Providence has rewarding volunteer opportunities at every Waterfire lighting and throughout the week, every week. Our incredible volunteers make it all happen in a variety of ways, from being on the river to greeting guests and everything in between. There's truly something for everyone. Individuals and groups can get involved today. Email us at volunteer@waterfire.org or call 401-273-9727.
Who that is?
Who
we're listening to? Who? I think I have an owl in here.
It's Brother Hash.
That is Brother Hash.
A.K.A.
Spaga.
Yeah, Spaga.
Spaga. For those of you who don't know Spaga, it would be kind of crazy if you don't. He's been the fire spinner that's been a joy at Waterfire, gosh, since the beginning, right, Spaga?
I actually played music for Barnaby at a Waterfire in 98, and then I think I began spinning fire with them around 2002.
Yeah, so when people, if you have not been to Waterfire, one, shame on you. But two, let's explain what spinning a fire is. So it's poi, right?
They called it poi. It was rooted in New Zealand, and they used to, I guess, the Maui used to do it before battle to warm themselves up. So it's spinning fire. Balls
and at the end of chains and stuff like that. And surely, if you have been to Waterfire, you know Spaga and you've seen Spaga, or if you've got the Waterfire DVD. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to talk about that a little bit, Spaga, before we go into your incredible music career, because a lot of people know you from Waterfire for the fire dancing, but they don't know that we're sitting on one of the most incredible talents that I've seen in a long time, and that goes, you go between here and New Orleans. But just to bring it back, how long have you been with Waterfire in the capacity as our fire spinner?
I've been a fire spinner since 2000, which is interesting because I learned it in California when I was on tour doing music, and I was up in the Aptos Mountains and out of Santa Cruz, and these hippies handed me a fire staff, and I just took to it right away, and the pictures look so cool that I decided to make it part of my act and incorporate it in the music. And I'm really happy I did, because they came and they were touring with Mike Patton's band, Mr. Bungle, Faith No More, Mr. Bungle, all kind of family of band. They couldn't perform fire in Boston, so they hung out with me in Providence for a few days and helped me build some of my own equipment. And by middle of 2000, 2001, I was spinning fire. Now there are more people that do it, and I don't really remember people back then doing it. I heard about people in Vermont and stuff like that, but yeah. I don't know if, you know, I always find myself innovating whatever art form. Like, I was one of the first people to loop guitar and kind of make beats on my guitar and be like a looping artist. That was around the same time, I guess, I was really creative. Mm-hmm. In 2000. I was living at AS220. That's what the deal was, you know, just mm-hmm. always trying to improve on what I did artistically. So
you've been a musician since, have you been playing
been
the guitar
musician, and, yeah, since I was 11.
11?
Yeah, at least.
And playing out since?
15.
Okay, so were you one of like the young bands that we would see down in the clubs in Providence?
I did play at a few clubs in Providence when I was like 19, 20, because the singer of the band that I was in, we used to get booked for stuff that he couldn't do, so he'd send me over. It's like, just grab an acoustic and an amplifier and your guitar and just go sing for them. And I didn't know I couldn't, and then they would give me money at the end of the night. I said, this is pretty cool.
I'll do it again.
they would serve me too, because I grew a beard like when I was 20, so they would serve me.
Okay, now for anybody who knows what Spaga looks like, I cannot picture you with a beard, because you've got this beautiful bald
teeth.
Head, and then you've got this long ponytail dreadlock that hangs down, and so I don't picture you with a beard.
No, I had hair like Slash and a little hippie beard.
The hippie beard. All right, I want to see pictures of that. That could be interesting. But, you know, when we were riding down here, because we came together to the studio, you were saying that your mom had, a sticker or something that was from when you first started performing that described you and your performance style then.
Yeah, which is interesting because I think when technology started taking over, I started to kind of mold with it, you know, and I, like I said, I was doing the looping and stuff, and I was kind of playing with DJs and doing house music, and I, you know, ended up going on tour in Ukraine and a lot of really cool stuff with some fantastic DJs. But my mother had this sticker from my first shows, and I just went to eat on Wickenden Street, so Cafe Zog. I used to play Cafe Zog, and it said acoustic sound, and I always wanted to kind of be an acoustic guitar player that sounded bigger than an acoustic guitar player, and I think I finally become that. And a lot of it was moving to New Orleans and start sort of like, I don't even use guitar picks anymore. I whack my guitar like a drum, and I do the beatbox thing, and I, you know, make that happen. And people think it's a whole band. From Bourbon Street, they think it's a whole band. They'll come in, and they'll be surprised it's only one guy. They'll look at my feet, look for effects or loopers or samplers, you know.
Because I kind of watched this evolution. I remember when you went to the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing you sing, gosh, it must have been maybe around 2005, 2006. And then you did. You went more what I would call heavy metal, but that's because I'm easy listening Bronwyn.
Which is interesting because I was always sort of heavy metal. I mean, in my teenage years, that's where I started. I mean, shredding guitar and all that stuff. And now it's
taken its journey. So tell me about this trip down to New Orleans, because for anybody who doesn't know why you don't see Spaga all the time at Waterfire anymore is because he's been down in New Orleans playing on Bourbon Street. What was that like? One, what made you pick up from Providence in Rhode Island and go to New Orleans in the first place?
Well, it was an interesting thing. I'm very intuitive and I guess spiritual, but life was definitely pointing in that direction. There's actually I was a camp counselor at a younger age. That's where I started playing live a lot. And I volunteered at the camp that summer, and we sang a song for the victims of Katrina. And when it said "Light Our Path" or something in the video, the whole room lit up, and it was a song about Katrina. It was a very special time for me because I don't know. I just was kind of going through some heartbreak and some hard times. Oh, I just got into that car accident. I hydroplaned going to a gig in through Connecticut. So you know, I basically was at a standstill. You know, I felt like life was kind of throwing me some punches, and it just friends and my banjo player was going down to New Orleans, and I went down there, and my buddy was looking at me. He's like, "Why are you gonna go back to Providence? This is New Orleans. This is a Tuesday night on Bourbon Street. There's like 5,000 people on the street. It's just a random Tuesday after Halloween."
The energy is different, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's very different. They don't make them like they do in New England, I'll tell you that. I miss the people up here for sure, and a lot of the detail that we pay attention to, the hard work that we do, and I'll always call myself a damn Yankee down there. I'm proud to be a Yankee, you know. But, yeah, it's very different. It's very different. But the city definitely, she loves me. We call her Mother New Orleans. And she's definitely brought, you know, a lot of dreams to fruition, given me many second chances. If you go to my website, you'll hear a song called Second Chances. And it's very much about moving out of New England and got to lose these New England blues, dry out and start again, you know.
So. You know, the one thing that I've always admired about you and loved about you is your honesty in all of your work, whether it's when you're spinning fire, whether it's when you are not only, a fire spinner, but a musician, but also an artist.
Yeah.
And
the hash art and the 8-track art is
and a
really cool.
Yeah, and you know, could you explain the history behind, you know, before we came on, I called you Spaga Hash, and you said, "No, that sounds like what a great breakfast item."
Yeah, sounds like food.
Can you explain a little about hash and how hash has been one of your biggest inspirations in your art? And
well, it's interesting because I play, he was a one-legged Harley guy, and I play music with his best friend now, who's also a one-legged Harley guy.
He was your brother, right?
Yeah, well, Hash is my brother, and he's best friends with Hash. So, and I was 18 years younger than Hash, so I didn't know what... how he felt about me. There was just a gap. And plus, he was the older brother that scared all my friends, and including me, the one-legged Harley guy that would come home and we'd all scatter, you know, like, get out of the house. Here comes Ash, you know. And those are all fun memories for us now, you know. He had a wooden leg. He used to go to family parties and take out his knife and, like, stick it in the wooden leg. And the whole family, anybody that didn't know him, their jaw would just drop, you know, because he'd have his wooden leg. So he would use that one a lot. I got a lot of stories with that one. People would come up to me and go, like, oh, I know your brother. I know your brother. I was on stage singing once, and he took out his knife. He stuck it in his leg.
Oh, no.
I said, that's one bad mofo. So Hash is a legend in himself, and as I got to be friends with his with his best friend Panhead, you know, he always reminded me how much he loved me, and you know, when Panhead was picking up banjo, he said, "Well, you know, Spaga," you know, that was his whole thing, and when he passed away, he left me his 8 tracks, and I definitely had some like Christmas Eve. I was looking for the first cassette tape that Hash got me for Christmas was AC/DC For Those About to Rock,
yeah.
Which I immediately put tape over the edges and you could record over it. I did that, you know, but anyway. But yeah, it was one Christmas Eve. I was looking for an 8-track. He had like 6,000 8-tracks, and I was like, you know, he's got to have more AC/DC in here. And there was one Christmas Eve where I found that 8-track, and I knew it was like Merry Christmas, you know, from Hash. You know, it was just, I didn't think I had it. I went through all the 8-tracks. I threw away like half of them, and... so yeah, you can go to my website, spaga.com or brotherhash.com. It takes you to the same place, and you can check out the Hash artwork.
You've done incredible stuff with vinyl records.
Yeah, the melted records on with 8 tracks, and it's cool to, you know, like today, this morning I recorded a new song. So it was amazing to record the song, put it up online, and immediately go to my phone and listen to it on the car on the way. And, like, the contrast of, like, what we used to do with 8 tracks, you'd have to, like, buy these 8 tracks and take them with you.
So it's easier to produce, but you need to get in a studio, because I know that you do so much of this by yourself, which just blows my mind.
Yeah, I produce a lot on my own. It's I think you need, you know, money and connections to really do it, have a production team. And but like I said, you know, this album's really about marketing my skills, and not only saying that I produced it. I'm proud. I produced like some really good stuff. I know how to mix drums, and it takes a long time. But I'm really into getting a label or something to help me, because I can't do it on my own. I'm having a hard time.
Spaga, where can we see you're going to be playing? You're here till August 31st.
I'm
right?
here to August 31st. I'll be at the next Water Fires, and I'm playing the Ocean Mist tomorrow early, 5 to 8. And I have some shows at the Wheelhouse and Galley, because I love South County and the beaches. And yeah, I'll be doing a show at the Spot, I'm sure, coming up. So just go to the website. I'm sure it'll be.
And when we go, all right, because I know you beatbox.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes, again, it sounds like, as you were saying, when you're down in New Orleans, people will walk in and they'll think that they're hearing a whole band.
Yeah, so,
okay, what is beatboxing? Can you just...
So I'll go up to, you know, sometimes I'll be like, if I was a DJ, I would just hit a button and I would sound like... And then I'll grab my guitar, I'll start going, yeah, you know, and just add the guitar over that, and it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
We'll be hearing some of that, some acoustic.
All of that.
The whole gamut.
Yeah, and I just try to keep it, you know, vocal and an acoustic guitar, and that's the whole thing.
And I also know that we are talking about, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more information about this, really seeing you do what you do at Water Fire. Do you still do the thing with the sword?
The Swords in New Orleans. So.
The Swords in New Orleans. This is so not only Spinning Fire, Spaga.
Hash left me a sword, and you can get pictures of that too. Hash left me a sword, and I didn't know what to do with it. He said, "Don't kill anyone with it." So I turned it into a fire sword, and I like to use it at the Gloria Gemma Water Fires because he died of cancer. So I like to, you know, celebrate that, and Yeah, there's some really cool video clips of that. I got to get up online.
Well, I got to tell you, Spock, I'm so glad that you came in because I know, was it a couple of weeks ago or something? You
oh,
and I forgot that there's
too.
A time difference between here and New Orleans. And I'm like, Spock, a hash is coming into us right from Bourbon Street. And we couldn't get in touch
cool
with you.
And the cool thing was she called and I had a good crowd. And I had a good crowd, so she called, and I picked up. I was like, hey, and you could hear the crowd. I was like, say hi to everybody on Bourbon Street. It would have been a really cool little clip for you.
It would have been awesome.
Maybe
but you
we'll
know,
do that in the fall or something.
I think we definitely should. And so I want to thank you for being on the show. Thank
Great
you for all
here.
You do for Waterfire. For everybody, again, that's out there, it's the Rhode Island International Film Festival all week long. You know, we had a great conversation. Aside from that, great, great movie. Go check it out. It's AFTDOC.com. That's the website. And then again, talking to our wonderful friend Paolo Monaco here. He's got his movie, The Mother. Sounds absolutely incredible. Go to the Rhode Island International Film Festival website. Check that out. And there's also going to be speaking with our good friend Michael Cuomo and helping people figure out how do you get from A to B in this darn industry. Can always be a little bit more difficult than one thinks. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And I will see you soon, actually on August 15th, down by the riverside.